microphone on, but it got it going for you.
Hell, I love that man right there. I know you do. I love Gabe Stoniker, dear friend of mine. I often tease and say that Gabe and I have a lot in common. We're both old musicians. We've been pastoring about the same length of time. Both have pretty wives. Gabe's tall, dark, and handsome, and I'm tall. I want you to turn back with me tonight to the Gospel of Genesis, if you would, chapter 45. And while you're turning, I want to remind you what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace." I love the fact that God calls His people by His grace. Now, why did it please God to separate Paul from his mother's womb? Well, Paul said this, to reveal His Son in me. That's the only way that any sinner will ever be saved, if he reveals Christ to me and in me. I want you to listen to me. Salvation comes only one way. This is a very narrow way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. Salvation comes by the revelation of God. That's it. If God doesn't reveal the gospel to you, you'll never ever hear it. You'll never see it. That shuts us up to His mercy and His grace. But that's a good place to be, isn't it? Amen. You remember when the Lord Jesus asked His disciples, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they all begin to answer and said, "Some say that you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Isaiah. Some even believe that you're John the Baptist reincarnated." And the Lord Jesus looked them in the eye and He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Yeah. That's the issue.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I ask you tonight, who do you say that He is? Peter answered the Lord and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord's response to Peter should be so revealing to us. He said, "Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." God has to reveal this gospel to us. Flesh and blood can't reveal Christ to you. Young folks, hear me tonight when I tell you, your parents cannot enable you to see this gospel. Trust me, if they could, they would. But they can't. A preacher, as much as this man loves you, he cannot reveal the truth to you. He can preach it to you, but he can't reveal it to you. Only God, which is in heaven, can. The Lord Jesus said, "And this is life eternal." Boy, there's nothing hard to understand about this. The gospel is simple and plain and direct. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Now, is there anything about that that you don't understand? It's just so plain and so simple. In order for us to have eternal life, we must know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom God sent. Everybody today professes to know God. Everybody today professes to love Jesus. Folks say stupid things like, "Me and Jesus, we have a good thing going." I kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt it. Or you wouldn't talk that way. You don't have to talk to folks long to discover that their God and their Jesus are not the God and the Jesus of this book that you hold in your lap. Not at all. Doesn't resemble him at all. Nothing. Paul said it pleased God. The God of the Bible. The God who controls all things, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. That's the God with whom we have to do. Not a God that's trying, not a God that wants to do. That's no God at all, is it? The God of the Bible. Oh, only God can reveal God. Paul said, I'm determined not to know anything among you other than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What must I know to be saved? Well, that's the wrong question. The question is, who do I have to know to be saved? I have to know Him. I have to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know who He is and you have to know what He did. I'm going to tell you who He is. He's God. And I'm going to tell you what He did. He died on the cross to satisfy God's holy law and God's holy justice that condemned you and I. We're born condemned. God's going to have to do something for us. The wages of sin is death. And because of our sin, death's what we deserve. As Gabe said last night, God is too holy to clear the guilty. He can by no means clear the guilty, the Scripture said. By no means. He's too holy. He must punish sin. He has to punish sin. But here's the good news for sinners. It's true that God's holy justice will not allow Him to clear the guilty. But you know what? It's equally true that God's holy justice will not allow Him to condemn the innocent. That's the best news I ever heard. You know why? Because in Christ, I'm perfectly innocent. In Christ, I have no sin. And that's the good news. He's done for me what I couldn't do for myself. He kept God's law and He satisfied God's justice. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God sent His Son into the world to save sinners. How does God save sinners? He becomes sin for them. Christ wasn't a sinner. Folks want to argue about that. Well, you believe Jesus was a sinner? No, I don't believe He was a sinner. I believe God made Him to be sin. That He might make me, the sinner that I am, perfectly righteous in Him. And that's the message that we preach. You and I are not righteous. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ became what I was so that I might become what He is. It's called substitution. The very righteousness of God. Oh, I can't get over that. I'm as righteous as God Himself. Now, that's difficult for us to fathom, isn't it? Because we live with ourselves. We know what we are. But it's nonetheless true. Nonetheless true. Now, there's no better story in all the Scripture to illustrate how Christ reveals Himself to His brethren than the story of Joseph and his brethren. So I want to kind of continue along the themes of last night here in the book of Genesis. God's got to reveal this gospel to us. We're shut up to the mercy and grace of God. Now, as we considered last night, Joseph was loved of his father. He was distinguished above all his brothers. He was hated without a cause. He was taken by wicked hands. He was discarded and left to die, sold into slavery, wrongly and falsely accused, thrown into a hellish prison, then raised to an exalted throne. That's exactly what happened to God the Son. And the real question is, the real concern tonight, has God revealed that to you? We call it divine revelation. We call it that because it takes the divine one to reveal it. And that's what the 45th chapter of Genesis is all about. Now, the best that I can calculate, it's been 22 years since Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt. Joseph, as we saw last night, was 17 years old when they did. He was 30 years old when he translated or interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. So that means 13 years have passed. They had just gone through the 7 years of plenty, and they're now 2 years into the time of famine. So that means 9 more years have gone by. And Joseph is now nearly 40 years old, and 22 years have passed by. 22 years. You think about that. For 22 years, his brothers had lied to their father Jacob about Joseph and how they had dealt with him. 22 years. For 22 years, they had justified in their own minds and hearts what they had done. For after 22 years, they had successfully erased from their minds the evil and the wicked actions that they took against their brother. Oh, it's so easy to justify our sin, isn't it? Lord, help us. We just justify our sin so easily. And although Joseph had suffered or served 13 years in prison, his brothers had moved on with their lives. They'd started families. They lived a relatively normal life, but not Joseph. He's in prison. You know what a man in prison thinks about? He thinks about being in prison, and he thinks about getting out of prison. You might ask, how do I know? Well, I talk to a man once a week that's in prison, and our conversations are always the same. He talks about being in prison, and he talks about getting out of prison. And I can assure you, he doesn't want to be there. That man's my son. Every man and woman born of Adam, friends, is in prison. The law of God, represented by Potiphar, as we saw last night, has put us there. We remain under the bondage of sin. The law and justice of God keeps us bound. Unless God is pleased to give us pardon, we'll never be free. Out of sight and out of mind, Joseph was to his brothers until God sent a famine. Make no mistake, it was God that sent it. It was God that sent it. Shall there be evil, the scripture says? Shall there be adversity? Shall there be calamity? Shall there be affliction in a city? That's what the word evil there means. And the Lord hath not done it. David said in Psalm 119, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. You know, the world doesn't understand that, do they? It's good for you that you've been afflicted. That's what David said. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That word statutes there means appointments. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your appointments. God, you're the one that sent the trouble. You're the one that sent the calamity. You're the one that sent the adversity to teach me that you're my God and you're in control of everything. Oh my, God's on his throne, friends. And he sends trouble so that we might learn and know that he sent it. And the troubles that we face in this life are by his appointment. Don't you ever forget that. That's why that they're always good. They're always good. Any adversity, any affliction that God sends is for the good of his people, Romans 8:28. Now here in Genesis 45, verse 1, We read, Ben Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. I bet they were. I bet they were. Now that word trouble here means terrified. They were terrified at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Can you imagine how they felt when Joseph cried, I am Joseph, your brother? They couldn't answer. They were terrified. And he's not just any man named Joseph. He's the Joseph they hated. He's the Joseph that they despised. He's the Joseph that they rejected. He's the Joseph that they desired to kill. He's the Joseph that they now stand before. He's the very one with whom they had to do. You hear what I'm saying? Joseph hid himself in plain sight from his brothers. You know, I was thinking about that recently. For many years, Christ hid himself from me. But when the fullness of time was come, fullness of the time, the scripture says. You know, I've been quoting that wrong for years. Sometimes we read over the scripture so quick that we miss little words that mean something. It says, when the fullness of the time was come. The time. A specific time. A designated time. A determined time. A particular time. The time that God determined and purposed. God sent forth His Son. Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's daughters too. My. Paul goes on to tell us how he was redeemed. He said, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. God divinely intervened in my life. I know each of you could say the same thing. I was on my way to hell as fast as I could go. As they say, I had one foot in hell and the other on a banana peel, ready to slip right on into hell. But God intervened. That's right. God divinely interrupted. God revealed His Son to me, and God revealed His Son in me, and Christ in me is the hope of glory. He's the only hope that I have, the only hope that you have. Has God revealed that to you? Oh, how I pray He has. Our only hope of glory is that God will accept Christ's righteousness, and He will. He will. If you ever truly see your need of Christ, if you ever truly believe and rest in the gospel, if you ever see that salvation is to be in Christ, it'll only be by the revelation of Him and by Him. It's just that simple. Oh God, reveal yourself to us. Show us you more and more. Well, we said it last night, Jesus Christ is the revealer, and He is the revelation. As the sons of Jacob here stood before Joseph, and terrified they were, for the first time they're confronted by the very one that their sin was against. You know, I remember that day very well. That day that I realized, as David did, that against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Our sin's against him. All of it. All of it. The very one that they betrayed is now the very one who has their lives in his hand. Oh, it's the same with us. One day, every son and daughter of Adam will do the same. They'll stand before the very God that they betrayed and sinned against. We're going to give an account. The scripture says for the things done in this body. Now, are we going to stand before God and say, but Lord, haven't we done this and haven't we done that? No, because all we've done is sinned against him. And God is justified. He's right when he speaks against us.
Yes.
Salvation is taking sides with God against ourselves.
Amen.
It takes God's grace to do that, and it takes a revelation from God. Oh my, he's justified. He's clear of any wrongdoing when he condemns us of our sin. Why? Because we're guilty. We are guilty. The verdict is in. We're guilty. He's the one that we've sinned against. Now Joseph had the right to bound his brothers hand and foot and cast them into the darkest dungeon that Egypt had. How much more fearful, dear friends, is it to fall into the hands of the living God? How much more fearful is it to fall into the hands of an angry God? God's angry with the wicked every single day. But not the righteous. Has God revealed to you that in Jesus Christ you're made the very righteousness of God in him? That's the issue. That's the issue. Well, what did these brothers do under the conviction of their sin? They began to plead for mercy. Nothing makes a convicted sinner pray like a sense of sin and guilt. When God reveals to you what you are and what you deserve, you'll begin to plead for mercy. When Peter began to sink, he prayed, Lord, save me. That Syrophoenician woman begged, Lord, help me. Help me. Oh, listen, God's not interested in long, eloquent prayers. Lord, save me a work. Lord, help me to get the job done. That thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. You know what? The Lord remembered him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh my, if you're in trouble, you'll pray, you'll beg, you'll cry. When you're in trouble, you will. But that's the problem today with men and women. Men and women are doing okay on their own, aren't they? Doing okay on their own. Men and women don't need God. Those that are well have no need of a physician. They don't see that they're critically ill. You see, we've got a bad, bad disease. We've got leprosy of sin. Starts on the inside and works its way outward, doesn't it? And we're dying. We're dead. Oh, may the great physician have mercy on us. How does God reveal these things to a chosen sinner? Only one way. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What the world calls foolishness, it ain't foolishness to you, is it? No, sir. It's the foolishness of preaching, foolishness to the world, what we do. But not to the child of God. It's the very means that God uses to save us, that enables us to believe. But David, there are churches on every corner, everywhere you go. Preachers are saying, thus saith the Lord. They're young preachers and they're old preachers and they're men preachers and they're women preachers. There are funny preachers, and there are serious preachers, and there's singing preachers, and there's crying preachers, and there's preachers that are entertainers, and there's preachers that are financial experts. And there are preachers that are professional counselors. We don't have a famine of churches. They're on every corner of every town and every state. We don't have a famine of preachers. We don't have a famine of opinions. We don't have a famine of doctrines. We have a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. We have a famine of preaching the gospel. Not a famine of entertainment. Not a famine of emotionalism. We have a famine of preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, in verse 5, Joseph said this. He said, "You sold me, but God sent me." It's the same with us. We sold ourselves into sin. Sold under sin, Paul said. But God sent His Son to redeem us, to buy us, to purchase us. God was behind it all. Over and over again in these chapters of Genesis, we read these words, "The Lord was with Joseph." When was He with him? Before the foundation of the world. Before He'd done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of him that works, not of him that anything done by the sinner, but by the grace and the mercy of God. Over and over again, in the pit in which his brothers threw him, the Lord was with Joseph. Taken by the Midianites, sold to the Ishmaelites, the Lord was with Joseph. Bound in chains and sold as a slave to Potiphar, the Lord was with Joseph. Falsely accused, thrown into prison for something he didn't do, the Lord was with Joseph. Now on the throne of Pharaoh, the Lord is still with Joseph. And what does Joseph do? He determines to be merciful and gracious to the very ones that hated him without a cause. Is that not the gospel? How much more is it true of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Again, verse 5, Joseph said, "God sent me to preserve life." In verse 7, he said, "God sent me to preserve you a posterity." That word means remnant in the earth. God's got a remnant. It's here tonight. Yes, God has a remnant. "God sent me to save your lives," he said, "by a great deliverance." And oh, what a great deliverance it was. Friends, our sin is great. Our guilt is great. Our need is great, and nothing less than a great deliverance will do. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? What makes it great? I think you know the answer. To neglect so great a salvation is to neglect Christ, who is our great salvation. Verse 8, Joseph says, "You didn't send me here, God did. God made me a father to Pharaoh. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turns it howsoever he sees fit." And again, verse 8, Joseph said, "God made me Lord over Pharaoh's house." Beloved, hear me when I say Jesus Christ is Lord over every house, whether they know it or not. He's Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. But to some, he reveals that to. And they're the ones that have rest and comfort and assurance. Do you have that tonight? Oh, that God might reveal it to you. Joseph was a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Jesus Christ is the sovereign ruler over the universe. And he loved me and gave himself for me. The greatness of Joseph was revealed to his brothers. The greatness of Christ is revealed to his brothers. I used to think that I had to give Jesus my heart. That's what I was told all my life. Just give Jesus your heart. Well, one thing I learned is he don't want that wicked thing. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God revealed that to me. I used to believe that I had to let the Lord have his way in my life. And now it's been revealed to me that whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and in the seas and in all deep places. Missed a good place to say amen there. Has that been revealed to you? Has it? Paul said in Ephesians 1, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you. That's the only way you're going to get it. If he gives it unto you. May the Father of glory give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the revelation we need, knowledge of him. Oh, that we might grow in the grace and in the knowledge of him. God, make it so, for Christ's sake. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling. That's talking about divine revelation. It's all about him. It has to be revealed to you. And no matter how wise or educated or experienced a man or a woman might be, God has mercy on whom he'll have mercy. God reveals his son to whom he wills. God enlightens those whom he pleases. Sounds to me like salvation's of the Lord. Had Joseph not revealed himself to his brothers, I'm convinced that they would have never known who he was. Has that been revealed to you? If God doesn't reveal himself to you, you'll never know him. God could have, and he should have, passed us by. You know, a wealthy man leaves this life, and he has a will, and his greedy children say, I just want what I deserve. I just want what I have coming to me. Listen, I don't. No, I don't. Not me. I want that which is undeserved. I want that which is unmerited. I want God's mercy and his grace and his forgiveness. I don't want what I deserve. Did you notice that Joseph revealed himself to his brothers secretly, it says? He said, cause every man to go out from me. And it says there stood no man with him. When Christ saves a sinner, he's going to remove everyone from the equation except for himself and the sinner. We're going to stand alone before God to give an account of our obedience to his holy law and justice. Mr. Spurgeon once said, sinners go to hell in bunches, but sheep come to the shepherd's fold one by one. He leaves the 99 and he goes after the one sheep that's lost. I remember that day. Oh, we're so prone to wander. So prone to leave the God that we love. But my good shepherd, he left the 99 and he came and he found me. And he picked me up and he put me on his shoulders and he carried me all the way back to the fold. Has God revealed that to you? In verse 3, the first words the sons of Jacob heard here was, I am Joseph, that my father yet lived. And through the preaching of the gospel, friends, the child of God hears these words, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I am the proof that my father lives. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall Don't you like that word?
Amen.
Not he might, but he shall save his people from their sins. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Blessed day it is when Christ speaks to our hearts and says, I am Jesus Christ. Look to me. Trust in me. Put all your confidence in me. It's I who opens the storehouses of grace. It's I who washes all your sin away. And we confess salvation's of the Lord. I hope that hadn't just become a slogan, something like a bumper sticker that we put on our car. Salvation really is of the Lord. It really is. We're so evil, so desperately wicked, as I said, our hearts so deceitful. Only God can know how wicked they are. If I asked each of you here tonight to conjure up in your mind some disgusting, repulsive, obnoxious thing, I'm sure that each of us could come up with some pretty horrific things. But I'm sure that none of us would have thought of ourselves. Our hearts, deceitful. The Scripture says above all things. I can think of some pretty deceitful things. But my heart is more deceitful than all of them. Desperately wicked, the Scripture said. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. Well, I'll hurry here. The next thing Joseph reveals to his brethren is his unknown relationship to them. He said, I am Joseph, your brother. Blessed is the man and the woman who sees Christ as their brother. Bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And being his brother means that we have the same father. Being his brother means that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we might also be glorified together. What grace and mercy our Lord shows to us. Then look at verse 4. In love, Joseph says, come near to me, I pray you. The Lord Jesus stood on the last day of the feast and He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Laboring with your sin, heavy laden over your guilt. He said, I'll give you rest. That's what I need. I need rest. I need that peace of God that passes all understanding. That peace of God that keeps this heart and this mind on Christ, my Lord. Has God revealed that to you? Verse 5, Joseph said, be not grieved. That word means displeased or angry with yourselves. He said, what you did wrong, God was behind it all. God did send me to you to preserve life. And Joseph later tells them, which Lord willing we'll look at tomorrow, he tells them, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Often when God reveals our sin to us, we hate our sin and we hate ourselves because of it. You know, the Scripture says Job abhorred himself. Isaiah said, woe is me. Paul said, I'm less than the least. Oh, wretched man that I am. But Joseph was out to do his brother's good. And Christ is out to do us good. Isn't he? He's out to do us good. In Christ, God is out to do us good. In verse 9, Joseph said, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Friends, God gave Christ preeminence over all things. In verse 10, Joshua said, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, you and your children and your children's children. You know, Goshen was known for its green pastures that were well suited for sheep. Christ is that pasture that we go in and out. He's our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. In verse 11, Joshua said, "And there I will nourish you, take care of you in this time of famine, and you will not come to poverty." Well, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm his heir. Mm-mm. Christ is our inheritance. We get everything in Him. Yes, sir. In verse 15, Joseph kissed all his brethren and he wept upon them. And they talked with Joseph about all that he had done. The Lord Jesus Christ with great compassion died in the room and in the stead of His chosen elect people, taking their sin and giving them His perfect righteousness. And friends, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. In verse 16, the fame of Joseph was heard throughout the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh was pleased with what Joseph had done. The gospel today is preached all over this world to every creature, and God is well pleased with His beloved Son who came into this world to save sinners. And there will be joy in heaven over one sinner that repents and trusts in Christ. God well pleased. But He's well pleased with His Son. And the only way He's ever well pleased with us is in His Son. Has God revealed that to you? Oh, blessed art thou. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. In verse 19, Pharaoh gave Joseph wagons, and he said, "Go get them, everyone." Talking about Joseph's family. Pharaoh said, "Tell them to regard not their stuff." Regard not their stuff. Bring nothing with them. Pharaoh would provide all they needed for Joseph's sake. Our great God reveals to His elect to regard not your stuff. God don't want it. Regard not your stuff. Sinner, leave behind your filthy rags righteousness. Regard not your presumed goodness. Bring not your imagined morality. No skills are needed, no talent required. Come empty-handed. In my hand, no price I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. Everything else is going to be provided. God will give you the good of the land. And have you? Has God revealed to you your starving condition? Has God revealed to you the diagnosis of your horrific disease? Do you see your need of the great physician? Has the Holy Spirit revealed to you your need of Christ? If He has, come to Christ. You say, "Well, I've come to Christ." Well, keep on coming. You're going to keep on coming. I'm going to come today. I'm going to come tomorrow. I'm going to come the next day because that's my only hope. Come to Christ as Joseph's brothers came to Him. Come to Christ and He'll give you rest. Come to Christ, His yoke is easy because He's done all the work for you. Come to Christ, His burden is light. God has accepted His offering for sin. There's no burden for you to bear. And to those of you who are yet without Christ, may God be pleased by divine revelation to reveal these things to you. For His glory, for your eternal good, and for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Well, I was greatly, greatly, greatly blessed by that.